Thank you, and welcome to another radio broadcast from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening, and we do pray that God would bless you as you listen this morning to a portion of His own precious Word. We would like to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock, and then our morning worship at 11. And then tonight's services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service, and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. is our midweek Bible study. You can also check us out on the Internet by going to www.independencebaptist.org. There's much information there concerning our church, and I know that if you're interested in our church, this information will be invaluable to you. This morning, John Alls will be bringing the final message on Christian music. He'll be discussing the use of instruments and also the importance of being skillful in our singing. Brother John.
You know, as we study about music, there's a lot of different things that we need to look at. You know, we've already talked about what it should be about, when we should do it, why we should do it, who should do it. But you know, another important piece that we haven't really talked about yet is the instruments. You're going to have all different kinds of thoughts on this. You know, I've talked to people that believe all the way to no musical instruments can be used in worship service whatsoever. To people that go so far the other way that the main emphasis is on the instruments and not on the actual singing and worshiping God. And as with most things, I think personally somewhere in the middle is where you're supposed to be. I don't have a problem with singing a cappella. I actually love to sing a cappella. I think it's very beautiful. That being said, I don't have a problem with singing with instruments either. Now, of course, in our church, pretty well, we just have the piano. We do have, sometimes we have specials. We'll have somebody do a guitar or maybe a violin, something along those lines. But, you know, I went to a church one time in Dallas where they actually had, they had the piano, they had an organ, they had congregational singing. But up front, they also had a very small, basically, for lack of a better term, orchestra. They had somebody that had a flute. They had somebody that had a trombone, and there are two or three other different types of instruments that they played, and it was really beautiful, and it wasn't dominating. It didn't take over the service. It didn't. It wasn't so loud that you couldn't sing. It wasn't so much so that that was the focal point, but it was very nice, and it went along with the music very well. I don't have a problem with that, and I think that if you dig into the scriptures, you'll find that in the Old Testament, they actually used a lot of different instruments in their worship service. Now, I've also talked to people that go so far the other way, where they have so many instruments. And not necessarily the number of instruments is a problem, but the fact that the instruments become the focal point and they are so loud that they drown out the words, that I have a problem with. I think that comes back to the discussions we had earlier about what is suitable and what's comely and what's pleasant and what really brings honor and worship and glory to God. So I think you got to find that happy medium somewhere where you realize that there are musical instruments in the worship of the Lord. You realize that those are not supposed to be the dominating factor, but that what you're doing is supposed to bring honor and glory to God. Now, that being said, as you study throughout the scriptures, you'll find the following instruments specifically mentioned. There's harps, psalteries, which is a type of stringed instrument also. There's timbrels, there's cornets, there's cymbals, there's trumpets, there's organs, and there's a smattering of several other different ones throughout there. But those are the main ones that you'll find. Now, the thing when you start studying about musical instruments in the Bible, you'll find that they're used in good ways, they're used in bad ways. You think about the time when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. The king of that nation was actually using musical instruments to command people to bow down and worship the idol. Obviously, that's a case where musical instruments were used to evil. But I want to show you some verses where musical instruments were not only used in a worship service of the Lord, but they were actually commanded to be used. If you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25, And actually, before we read verse 25, to give you a little bit of history, I'll read the first part of chapter 29. And Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourself, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For your fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. So here I think we got a little bit of history for this. King Hezekiah says that he was actually a good king. He served the Lord. And we find that the kings that came before him did not, and the kings had turned away the hearts of the people. The house of the Lord had fell into disrepair. It had things not so good in there and some things going on that shouldn't have been. And he says, hey, we're going to clean this up. We're going to get it right. We're going to start serving the Lord the way we should. And then, if you turn over to verse 25, it says, And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. So verse 25 tells us a couple things. We've got three musical instruments that most of the time in today's services we don't even think about. You got the harp. You've got the cymbal. That's an interesting one. Lots of times, of course, cymbal you think about, you know, big bang or big clash, but the cymbal can be very a very beautiful, delicate sound in songs. And so we got the harp, we got the cymbal, and we have the psaltery. And the neat thing about this is it says, according to the commandment of David and of Gad and of Nathan. And then it goes on to say that this was by the commandment of the Lord through his prophets. So we find here that David and Gad and Nathan are referred to as prophets. And they are actually saying that this was commanded of the Lord, that these instruments should be used in this particular worship service. Now, I'm not saying that these particular instruments have to be used in every worship service, but I'm giving you an example of where some types of instruments were used in a worship service and were not only used but were commanded by God to be used. So I think when you get into the study of instruments and what should be used, what shouldn't be used, and can we have them, can we not have them, it's pretty apparent that they do have their place in the worship service. And like I said, it's pretty neat. He actually says the commandment of the Lord. Okay. Now, a few other things along this same kind of line, not just dealing with instruments, but kind of dealing with the structure of how some of the Old Testament worship services used music and some of the emphasis that was put on it. If you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, you're going to find some things about, and I'm not going to read all of this, but what you'll find is you'll find basically what we would refer to today as song leaders. I'm going to read 1 Chronicles chapter 6, and we're going to have to skip around here a little bit for this to make some sense, but we're really going to probably start in verse 31. And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark had rest. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then they waited on their office according to the order. And these are they that waited with their children of the sons of the Kohathites, Hermon a singer. You find here that Hermon was actually appointed. He's the singer, and that's in verse 33. You'll also find in verse 39, and it says, And his brother Asaph, who stood on his right hand, and then in verse 44, And their brethren, the sons of Merari, stood on the left hand, Ethan, the son of Kishi, and then it talks about him standing there on the left. And so basically, I think what you've got here, you have an example of where in the song service, they actually had three people specifically assigned to specific jobs, Hermon in the center,
Asaph off on the right and Ethan on the left, and they were actually assigned certain responsibilities in the song service. So there was a very big emphasis on the music and the songs in the worship service here in 1 Chronicles. And I think it even gets deeper than that. There's actually a verse, if you get into it, there's a verse that talks about somebody being assigned to the leading of singing because he was skillful. And we'll read that here in just a second. I want to mention that this Asaph that's mentioned here being assigned, as you read through other verses, you'll actually find that he was actually assigned certain positions of musical instruments, and he was in charge of this musical instrument, he was in charge of singing. And you'll also find that when you read the book of Psalms, this Asaph actually wrote at least, from what I can find, at least 12 chapters out of the book of Psalms. Lots of times David gets the credit for writing the book of Psalms, and he did write quite a bit of it, but he didn't write all of it. And Asaph is one of the other ones that did. I believe you'll find chapters 50 was written by him, and then also chapter 73 through 83 was written by Asaph as well. If you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 22, and Shinnai, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. And so we find here they're talking about a guy that he was actually in charge of the songing, and he was in charge of actually instructing in songs, and it was because he was skillful at what he did. You know, you have people that talk about, well, you can make a joyful noise to the Lord. You really don't have to try. It doesn't really matter. You know, as long as you're singing, that's what matters. And I'll be the first to agree that if you're singing from your heart, even if you don't sound very good, God is going to accept that. He wants your heart. He wants you, and He's going to accept. If you can't carry a tune in a bucket and you want to sing to Him, He's going to accept that. That being said, there's also some emphasis put in here about needing to be skillful or wanting to be skillful, and an importance on instructing and leading in a skillful manner. There was a very strong presence of singing in the worship of the Lord in the Old Testament, and I think they took it very seriously. They took it very seriously. You know, and I think today, when we have worship services, we need to think about all these things. We need to think about the instruments we use. We need to think about what the song's about. We need to think about why we're singing. We need to make sure that we're singing from the heart. We need to make sure that we're worshiping the Lord. I think you can sing a song of worship to the Lord, and if you aren't singing it from your heart and you're just singing it from memorization and not really thinking about what you're doing, you're not worshiping the Lord. You've got to think about what you're doing. You've got to mean what you're saying. When you sing that song, if you mean it to be true worship, you need to be thinking about it, understanding it. You need to be offering it to the Lord as a means of worship and praise of Him. We need to take our singing and our music and our worship service very seriously. We've taken just a few minutes and we've talked about how the importance that they put in the Old Testament on this, and how that in some cases, some of this was a commandment, and they set people over this specifically for the song service. We found examples in the New Testament where Christ sang in the congregation. He sang after the Lord's Supper. We find instances where we're talking about teaching and admonishing each other. There is a very important component of worship is singing and the music. And we need to make sure that we're doing it with the right heart and that we're doing it the right way. And we need to make sure that we understand it and that others are being taught and admonished by it. It is a worship and praise of the Lord, and we need to take it very seriously.
Thank you, Brother John. Well, I trust that each of you have enjoyed this series on Christian singing, and I trust that you've learned some things that God wants you to learn. If you'd like to listen to these broadcasts again, they're on our church's website. That's www.independencebaptist.org. We do invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church, and we pray God will bless you. Thank you now for listening.